So we desire that you would pray for us and with us. We'd like for you to turn with us to the 18th chapter of Jeremiah. We want to start reading at the first verse, very familiar text of Scripture. We want to talk today about the potter and the clay. If you can start reading at the first verse of the 18th chapter of Jeremiah.
The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord.
Okay, the Lord is talking to Jeremiah. The words which came to Jeremiah, they came from the Lord. It wasn't just somebody telling Jeremiah what to do. But the Lord was speaking to Jeremiah and telling Jeremiah what he wanted him to do. And he says,
saying,
arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. First of all, one of the first requirements is obedience. Jeremiah, I want you to do what I'm saying. Just arise. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do right now. I want you to go down to the potter's house, and I want to give you a lesson that I want you to look there. I want you to go there. And maybe in my mind, Jeremiah was saying, you know, I'm wondering what am I going down here for? Why didn't he tell me before I get here of what he wants? But he says, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down. I was obedient to the Lord. I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Now, you suppose the Lord knew that he was going to be there doing a particular job? He said he wrought a work on the wheel,
and
the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in my hands, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. So what he's saying here, this is good enough. What I want us to get a hold of is the Lord had Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house, and he, in essence, saw the potter working a work at the wheel. He had taken some clay, and he mixed it with water, and he was working a work and forming a vessel that the potter had in his mind that this is what I want to make. It wasn't the clay that had in his mind what he wanted to be. It was the potter that had in his mind what he wanted to make. So he says, I want you to go down and I want you to look at it. And I want you to understand as he's making this and it's just about like he wants it, and then there was something in it, maybe a stone, maybe something that didn't quite get worked in or worked out like it needed to be, and it marred in the potter's hand. And so what did the potter do? He just took this clay, he balled it back up to get all back up together, squeezed it back in. He said, all right, I'm going to remake it. Now, one of the things I want us, I believe the Lord wants us to get a hold of is we are like that. And he says, he's making it as though it's the house of Israel. He says, I want to make you what I want you to be. And it is not our responsibility to tell God what we want to be. Now, I believe that part, if we look at this particular object lesson here, all of us probably at one time in our lives wanted to be something that God didn't want us to be. We wanted to do something that God wasn't necessarily pleased with us doing, and so we marred to some degree in his hands.
Yeah.
And then what we come to the understanding and the realization is that this vessel that is being made is not being made for me.
Yeah.
It's being made for God.
Yeah.
So I am a vessel unto honor.
Yeah.
The Lord has every right to make me what he wants me to be. He has every right to make you what he wants you to be. But the problem that he has, if I can use that term, is that we have wills and we have minds of our own. And as God is squeezing and pressing and trying to make us what he wants us to be, we have some say in it as well.
Yeah.
So if we don't want to be what God wants us to be, we don't have to do it. We have a certain level of power, if you'll allow me to use that. We have used that term. We have a certain level of power to know as to whether or not we are going to be exactly what God wants us to be. As God is squeezing us, as he's trying to get it just like he wants it, we have the right or the... I don't want to use the word privilege, but you understand what I'm saying. We have the prerogative to say, Lord, no, that's not what I want to be. And so as God is saying, no, this is the best thing. You just don't understand what I'm trying to make. When I'm finished with you, you're going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
But Lord, I don't like what you're taking me through right now.
Uh-huh.
But the Lord said, I'm not finished with you yet.
Uh-huh.
But we have something to do with how the Lord is able to mold us That has everything to do with us. I want to turn to the first chapter of Jeremiah. I want to read the fourth verse. Start at the fourth verse, please.
Jeremiah 1:4.
Yes.
The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee.
He said, before I formed thee in the belly. Now, did you notice if you go back into, and we may touch up on this, if you go back into Genesis, the first chapter, we find that God spoke everything into existence.
Yeah.
He said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be a separation of the firmaments, and all the things that God did, he spoke it into existence. But when he got down to mankind, what did he do? Did he speak man into existence? No, there was something a little bit more intimate than him speaking man into existence. He took the clay, the dirt from the ground, he mixed it with the water, and he began to mold man. He took us and he molded us and made us what he wanted us to be. All right? Now, here is what he's saying here is, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. So God had in his mind what he wanted mankind to be like. He had in his mind what he wanted him to look like before he even picked up the dirt and started it.
Yeah.
And so in the same way, before you were even born, God knew what you were going to look like. He knew what you were going to be. He knew the kind of personality that he was going to breathe into you. And he knew that ultimately what he wanted you to become was more like him. We were made in his image. And so he formed us. He took the time to make us what he wanted us to be. All right? And so he says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. He had to have in his mind who we were, how he wanted us to be, what kind of environment we would be in. God did all of this. And he realized that we have something to say about whether or not we stay.
Yeah.
Like what God wants us to be.
Yeah.
All right? Read.
And before thou camest forth out of
the womb, I sanctified thee,
and I ordained thee
a prophet unto the nations.
Then said I,
now, can you imagine this, that the Lord, before Jeremiah was even formed, the Lord knew that I want you to be a prophet.
Yeah.
I want you to be a prophet, and I want you to be a prophet not just to a small group of people, but to the nations. And do you suppose that the Lord knew that he wanted Jeremiah's life to be laid out in the scriptures and we were to follow it? And today in 2011, thousands of years after Jeremiah was born, that we'd be talking about him? Do you suppose God saw all that? He foresaw all of that in his mind when he created this man, that this is what he created. Now, in the same way, I believe what the Lord wants us to see is the background of what he's done for you. And sometimes we feel so inferior. Lord, I'm just not as good as brother so-and-so. I'm not this and I'm not that. And the Lord said, I didn't want you to be like that. I could have made every man just alike.
Yeah.
I could have made them look alike. I could have made them act alike. I could have made them with the same levels of ability. Everybody have the same thing. There is a level of consistency that the Lord has given us. That we're all, there are some, all of us breathe, don't we? All of us eat. There are certain things that all of us do. There are certain things that we enjoy in any language, no matter where you go. If you see somebody smiling, it means the same thing in Russian as it does in Germany, as it does in India, as it does in Africa, as it does here in America. So there is a consistency that the Lord gives in all of his people. But then, why did the Lord make you to live here in your environment and somebody else didn't have that luxury that you have? But you see, what we do, we tend to complain about what God is doing in our lives.
Yeah.
And so we're dissatisfied, Lord, that I'm not like this or these kinds of things. Why are these things happening to me? Why does it always happen to me? Because God is trying to make something of you.
Yeah.
God wants you to be the vessel that he created in his mind before you were ever made. Before he ever formed you, before he ever started with you. Now let me tell you, he is not finished with any of us.
Amen.
What he wants us to be is more like him.
Yeah.
And so what he does, he takes us through places in our experience and he molds us and tries to form us in what he can best, what he can best use. All right? Not what we think is best for us.
Yeah.
If we're not careful, we'll be like the scripture says, we'll exalt our knowledge against the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
our understanding of what we should be. We've gone to these kinds of places, and in my mind, we kind of think, well, Lord, I don't see the benefit of you taking me through this. I just don't see it. Do you suppose that we have to see everything that the Lord is doing with us? We don't have to see it, and we don't have the luxury or the privilege to see it because we are not the potter. We're not the one that the Lord is making, all right? All right, read.
Then said I, Our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak.
Our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak.
For I am a child.
For I am a child.
But the Lord said all right.
To me. Now, see, that we do that, don't we? Lord, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, please don't make me do that.
Yeah.
Lord, I don't want to stand in front of those folks. I don't want to go to them. I don't want to do that, Lord. And, you know, sometimes we just don't do it.
Uh-huh. Oh, Lord.
That's
we justify it.
Amen.
We make up in our mind, well, you know what, Lord, I'm not a good speaker. Lord, I can't speak. You know, you have every right to tell the Lord what you can't do.
Uh-huh.
You know, Moses did it. When the Lord was going to send Moses to Pharaoh, Lord, I can't do that. And the Lord said, Moses, I'm going to be with you. No, Lord, I can't do that.
Uh-huh.
And you know, sometimes we do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes we are inferior, the things that we feel inferior about, and all of us are inferior in some things. And all of us feel that we are not good enough. But you know what I've learned? What I'm learning, I've learned it and I'm still learning it, is that when you're doing something for God, it's God that works in you,
yeah,
both to will and do of His good pleasure.
Yeah.
So when we can submit ourselves and we can say, Lord, I can't do it. The Lord says, I know you can't do it.
Yeah.
But I made you a vessel that I could do it through you. I'll do it if you'll just get out of the way and allow me to do it. Then I'll pour my spirit in you and I'll do it through you.
Yeah.
Lord, help us. So we need to get this over in our minds that when we say, well, Lord, oh Lord God, I cannot speak. I am just a child. I don't see myself as mature enough to do these things. Do you know that there are a lot of things that need to be done in the church that nobody wants to do because they don't feel that they are capable of doing it?
Yeah.
They don't feel like they are qualified to do it. Let me tell you, God qualifies us as we step up to the plate and, Lord, I'm willing to do it. If you're willing to use me in this capacity, Lord, I'm willing to do it.
Yeah.
I don't believe that there's anybody here that started preaching that felt very confident that I'm going to be able to get up here and not make a fool of myself.
Yeah.
And not only that, but as we go along, we may have been preaching for several years and we still feel a level of inferiority. And you know what? I believe that that's good. I believe that there's a whatever it is that you do for the Lord. When you feel like, Lord, I really can't do this. And not, you know, some folks have false humility.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They want to be up in front of everybody doing all, but when everybody is looking there, they're so humble. Well, y'all pray for me. Then I'll be, no goodwill that they want to do it. They want to be up in front of everybody. You're chuckling because you know it's true.
Yeah.
All right? But listen, there are those. And then there are those that realize, Lord, I really can't do it. And they're trembling as they do it. But Lord, I am willing for you to make of me what you want me to be.
Amen.
Whatever it is, Lord, I'm willing to do it, Lord. But you're the one that's going to have to do it. And we can lay it down to the Lord like that and say, Lord, I cannot do this. I'm a child.
Yeah.
I don't feel qualified. I feel like, Lord, I'll get in your way. And you know what that does for you and me? What it does for us, it makes us pray more, and it makes us get out of the way more. And Lord, if you'll do it through me, I'm trembling before you. But Lord, you are the potter. I am the clay.
Yeah.
You mold me the way that you want me to be. You do whatever it is with me that you want to do, Lord. I'm willing for that to happen. And let me tell you, when we qualify on that level, one thing of qualification is, it's not so much that you have the ability, that you feel like you have the ability, but one qualification is obedience.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm willing, and a willingness. I'm willing to do it, Lord. That's part of the qualification. Let me tell you, people disqualify themselves because they're not willing to go through things.
Yeah.
I believe the Lord would call far more people than He calls to various positions and various giftings if that person was willing and did not say that I am, did not fuss and fight with the potter.
Yeah.
Lord, help us.
Ah,
Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for I am a child.
But the Lord
said unto me, say not that I am a child,
for thou shalt
But thou shalt go where I shall send thee, not go where you want to go, not do what you want to do. Don't say that you're a child. Don't say that you are immature. And don't say it when God Himself has put His finger on you, on your life. Because God knows what He's doing. He knows that you're not qualified. He knows that you have inability. Do you realize who gave me the ability that I have? Who gave you the ability that you have? God did. So in the same way, what that infers to me, or really what it really tells me also, is the inability that I have, God also gave that to me as well.
Yeah.
And so the Lord can use these checks and balances, these pros and cons, and these things that God wants done, and God can use them because He made them.
Yeah.
And sometimes the reason God makes those, makes us have these inferiority and this inability is for us to depend more fully upon Him.
Yeah.
All right? So He says, don't say that. Don't say that I am a child. Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Now, if the Lord's telling you what to say, you're going to be all right, aren't you?
Yeah.
Now, if you're just thinking it up in your own mind, and you're deciding, well, what should I say to these folks? I'm looking at all of this, and you're seeing all of these needs. Do you know that sometimes the Lord is not wanting you to address people's needs at the time that you feel like they need to be addressed?
Yeah.
Not directly. You understand what I'm saying? There are some things that we see in our mind that we need, that we feel like needs to be addressed. Those of us that have children, have you ever saw a need in your child that you realize that, you know what, I can't tell them that yet? They're not in a position to be able, they wouldn't understand it.
Yeah.
So when the Lord shows you a need in somebody's life, there is something that you can do about it, but it's not always that you go unless the Lord gives you something to say.
Yeah.
All right? What the Lord gives you to do about any need that you see in somebody's life, the one thing that you can do is pray about it.
Yeah.
The one thing, and generally that's far more effective than us speaking to them. And sometimes what the Lord wants is He wants that the prayer is what paves the way for you to be able to speak to the person about that particular matter.
Yeah.
And so what the Lord, what we have in our minds sometimes is that we want to go and we want to straighten everything out in our timing, but the Lord says you're going to say what I'm going to tell you to say. And that, what that infers is that the Lord has a timing in when He tells you what He wants you to say.
Yeah.
Now, what was it? Ezekiel. That he went to a place and the Lord had told him, I'm going to send you to these folks. And when I send you to them, they're not going to listen to what you're going to say.
Uh-huh.
And he said that I'm sending you to the house of Israel. And they're going to be hard-headed and they're stiff-necked and all this. And he said, when you go there, I'm going to give you a message. And the Lord told him the message that He wanted to give him. But then when he went there, he went how? In the heat of his spirit, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
In the heat of his spirit. And what did the Lord say? I don't want you to say anything. I don't want you to say anything. Well, Lord, you gave me a message, and this is the message that you wanted me to give to these people, but I don't want you to give it to them right now.
Amen.
I want you to sit where those people sat. And what did he do? He sat there for 7 days.
Yes.
And when he sat there for 7 days, he saw how those people interacted. He understood some things, yet the message was the same message.
Yes.
And do you know that sometimes the Lord doesn't want us to speak? He just wants us to sit there, and I wonder if Ezekiel was praying, Lord, have mercy on these folks.
Yeah.
Help them, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, help me, then I'll have a level of compassion on them.
Amen.
These folks need help. And I'm wanting to come here in the heat of my spirit and just whip them up and let them know what God told me to tell y'all.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, no, I don't want you to do that yet. You sit there for 7 days until you have a clear understanding of what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And then you know what happens is the message is still the same message.
Yeah.
You know what the brother said in his testimony today? He said, what I told you is right, but how I said it was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The message didn't change.
Yeah.
But you know, I believe that Ezekiel had a little bit more compassion for the people.
Yeah.
He had a little bit more understanding for the people.
Yeah.
And he had, oh Lord, if there's any way that you can use this vessel to get a hold of these people, then Lord, use me in that capacity.
Yeah.
But sometimes what has to happen, part of God's making of us, is not us doing what we feel like needs to be done, but it's a setting down, setting somewhere, and being still. And that's not easy for most of us, is it?
Amen.
And I don't want you to do anything. I don't want you to say anything. That's part of God's making for us.
Yeah.
Whatever the vessel is that the Lord wants to use, part of it may be our having patience, right? And so what if Ezekiel said, Lord, I know you told me to sit here for 7 days, but I can't take this no more. These folks need to be told. Lord, I need to tell them what you gave me. And Lord said, and the Lord didn't say anything. He just sat there back there and folded his arm. Do you suppose that Ezekiel would have had the level of effectiveness that he would have had if he'd let the Lord finish molding him like he wanted him to be?
Yeah.
Lord, help us. All right. All right. Isaiah 43, verse 1.
But now,
yes.
Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob.
Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob.
He that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. For I have redeemed thee.
Isn't that wonderful? He said that God, the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel. All right, read.
I have called thee by thy name.
Thou art mine.
When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. And through the rivers. They shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire,
thou shalt not be burned.
Neither shall the flame kindle
upon thee.
For I am the Lord thy God,
Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the end of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. It is the Lord that has made us and not we ourselves. And the Lord made us for his glory, not for our own, not for us to be lifted up, not for us to have our own good pleasure and do what we want. And I believe if we understood this, then there would be a greater level of consecration. Lord, help me. As I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to me as well. When we realize that God formed us, the vessel that he created is a vessel that he wanted to use for his glory, for his honor, for his pleasure, and all the things that I go through, all of my trials, all of my testings, all the problems, the temptations, all of that is made for the point of the Lord molding me and making me what he wants, making us what he wants us to be.
Yeah.
He says, I created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, not if you pass through the waters. Mm-hmm. When you go through trials, not if you go through trials, when you go through them.
Yeah.
You're going to go through them. You're going to have problems. We're all going to have issues and situations that we're going to have to deal with, and we need the Lord to help us. The Lord has a reason for us going through them.
Yeah.
And sometimes we can ask him for them. Lord, what is the reason? What is the reason for this?
Yeah.
Sometimes he tells us, sometimes he doesn't. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now, one of the things about a potter is, one of the things that has to happen with the clay is it has to go through fire, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you understand why it goes through the fire? What is it? It has to be tempered. All right, it has to be cured. Do you realize that the fire actually changes the molecules of the clay? And you can take a clay, I'm not a potter by any stretch of the imagination, but I do understand some of the things. You can take a vessel a piece of clay that, that the potter has made into a vessel. And if he doesn't allow that, he just lets it dry at room temperature and he puts it in water, what's going to happen? It's going to crumble. It's not going to... But let me tell you what he can do. He can put it in the fire. The same clay, the same jar, he can make several vessels and he puts it through fire and there's a certain temperature that it has to reach. And at a certain temperature, if you have a lower temperature, that clay does something different than it does at higher temperatures. All right? And so the higher the temperature, and you've got to do it in a certain way to get it up to that high temperature. You can't just stick it in take a clay pot and just stick it in a hot oven. That's not going to work, is it? What's going to happen? It's going to shatter. It's going to break. So the Lord has an understanding of what it is that He's going to take us through in order to get us to change our temperament, to change the molecules of who we are and what makes us up. And you know, some of the trials that we go through, we are different people when we come out on the other side, aren't we?
Yeah.
We go in like this and it seems like it begins to get hot and hotter and the Lord turns up the temperature. And as He turns up the temperature, there is something that happens to us.
Yeah.
And so as the potter takes this piece of clay and he puts it in the one of the stages is that they've got to let it air dry. Uh-huh. That's one stage.
Yeah.
And then he puts it in the oven. Yeah. And then he kiln and he begins to turn it up ever so slow, and they know just how much heat to put on that particular pot.
Yeah.
To keep it from cracking and to make it where it becomes a solid piece that you can put water in and you can set it in the water for the rest of for years and it won't change its structure. But as it turns up, what really happens, and it'd be interesting to do some reading, and I'm not going to belabor you with with all the details of it, but as it turns up, what happens, it goes through a metamorphosis. There is something that literally happens where the molecules begin to fuse together and they become hardened and they draw closer and closer together to the point that they become solid. It's not porous anymore. It's solid, and it's because of the temperature. So we cannot be disappointed when God takes us through these changes.
Yes.
This is what we call them. Lord, you're taking me through changes. And that really probably is a very good word for it. Because what the Lord wants is He wants you to understand. He wants you to change. He wants you to be different than what you are. You know, I've said it many times, and you've probably heard me say it, there are things about us that we don't like.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
And if we don't like them, chances are God doesn't either.
Amen.
And they're not easy for us to change. And how many times have people told us about ourselves, and we just get our feelings hurt?
Yes.
Well, I know that's how. You don't have to say it like that. And you don't always have to be telling me about... And what do? When somebody says it, we get defensive about it, don't we?
Yeah.
But God wants to change that about us. How does He change it? How literally... This is talking about an object that doesn't have a will, doesn't have its own mind. But how do we change it? We take it through the fire.
Yeah.
How do we change us? How does God change us? He takes us through the fire. And so there are things that happen in our lives. There are people that we are confronted with. There are situations and circumstances that we wish, Lord, I wish I didn't have to go through this.
Yeah.
And all of us wish we didn't have to go through it. I don't know that there is any trial that we just say, you know what, I'm so glad I have this trial. We can say that afterwards. But while we're in the middle of it, we're trying to get out of it, aren't we?
Yeah.
No, we can sing the song in the heated furnace, Father, let me stay. Precious gold, and that's a good song to sing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But when you're in the middle of the trial, it's not as easy to sing it as it is when we're on the other side, on the front side of it.
Yeah.
We're just human beings. Nobody wants to hurt.
No.
Nobody wants to go through difficult things where people are talking about them and people are doing things against them. That's the furnace.
Yeah.
And the Lord is trying to... There's something that the Lord wants to work out of you. There's something that He wants to fuse together a little bit more. Well, let's read one of the scriptures. Let's go to Genesis 1:26. Read it for us.
And God said, let us make man
in our image.
After our
after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So God created us in his image. Now this is the original man. This is Adam. This is what Adam had a will. But God created this man, had in his mind what he wanted Adam to look like. What he wanted Adam to do, already had a job for him before he was even born, before he was even made in the physical sense. God had made Adam in his mind. And he had made Adam to the understanding that here it is, that Adam, I want you to have dominion over the fish of the sea. He had it all planned out. He had his career all planned out. God did. God had Jeremiah's career all planned out. Now, if we see these two examples in the Scripture, do you suppose that God had yours all planned out as well?
Yeah.
You suppose that everything that's happened to you, God had it planned? Now, here is this man in the perfect form of what God wanted him to be, but he gave Adam a will. He gave Adam the ability to disobey him if that's what he wanted to do. He wanted him to have a free will. So he said, here, I'm going to give you a law. Here is one tree that you can't touch. Here's another tree that you can have and all the other trees you can have. And let me tell you what generally happens when we say those kinds of things. The thing that we tell our children not to do is the thing that they want to do, right?
Yeah.
So Adam ate of the forbidden fruit and that changed everything.
Yeah.
What God had created was now marred. This masterpiece of God, this wonderful vessel that God created that was perfect, that it housed the Spirit of God within it, this beautiful specimen of creation, the pinnacle of creation, now this pinnacle of creation has been marred in his hands. And what God, when he looked at Adam, everything that God had looked at up to this point, it was good, wasn't it? And I believe that when he came to Adam, he said, it was good.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, it's so good that what I want is, it's not good that this man be alone, so I'm going to make a woman. I'm going to take out of his side, out of his womb, I'm going to take, and I'm going to create a helpmeet for him.
Yeah.
And he breathed into the nostrils. This shows us something that's a lot more intimate.
Yeah.
And so what it tells me is that the Lord is intimately involved in what you're becoming and what he wants you to become.
Amen.
So now we have a marred creature.
Yeah.
Now what? Now the rest of us, the Lord created us to be what he wanted us to be, what he wants us to be, but he can't do it without our cooperation.
Yeah.
Do you realize that the Lord wants to save every person in this world? Do you realize that the Lord has a purpose in the life of every person in this world? He didn't just arbitrarily create them and say, well, y'all can just do what y'all want to do, and if y'all decide that you want to live for me, you can. If you don't, then it's okay. He didn't say that.
That's right.
Jesus Christ died for every one of us.
Amen.
Every person that's born into this world, the Lord had a purpose for them. And the Lord has a purpose for you.
Yeah.
And what he wants us to be, he wants us to be in the image of God. He made us in his likeness.
Yeah.
So God created man in his own image.
Yeah.
In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea. Do you know the Lord still wants us to do that? You know what the Lord wants us to do now? One of the things that you read, one of the things throughout the Bible is having dominion over the earth.
Yeah.
Subduing the earth. And you know what earth he's talking about subduing? This earth. Me. You. And you know what the most difficult thing, the hardest job that any of us will ever face is subduing this earth. This earthen vessel. Making it do what God wanted it to do. Making it do what you know it needs to do. And that's still the job of man. And still the whole purpose is that God wants you to look like him. So all the things that he's taking you through, all the problems on your job, in your home, in the circumstances of life, that you go through, the reason that God is taking you through that is because it's making you look, he's polishing up his vessel. All right. Romans 9:19. I'm not going to hold you long tonight.
Thou wilt say then unto me,
yes.
Why doth he yet find fault?
Why does he yet find fault?
For who has resisted his will?
Who's resisted his will?
Nay.
Nay, O man.
Who art thou that replies against God?
Who art thou that, what right do you have to reply against what God is doing in your life? Do you know that that's a bit presumptuous?
Yes, Lord.
And a bit bold for me to say, Lord, this is not what I want you to make out of me. All right?
Shall
the thing formed say to him that formed it?
Why hast thou made me thus?
What? Lord, why? Have you ever said that to the Lord? Why? We probably all have at some point. Lord, why did you? Seemed like you could have done better than this. But you know what? I have something to do with it. You have something to do with what the Lord, with how the Lord is using you.
Yeah.
You have something. You know what? Folks want to say things about how the church has lost power. But you know why the church has lost power? Because we've lost a level of consecrate, a level of dying to ourselves.
Yeah.
Lord, help us. We see what's going on around us. We see what the world is doing. And we just have come to the conclusion that you ain't got to do all of that.
Yeah.
What the saints have done.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to do that. The reason they had power with God back in the day was because they were willing to become nothing. They were willing to stop fighting with the Lord. And the people that the Lord used, you know, the Lord uses folks. He wants to use all of us. But one of the things is that we have to submit ourselves so completely to Him that we're no longer, it's no longer me, Lord, that I'm looking at. It's you. It's your image. Lord, help us to get a hold of that. This is something that is going to take the Lord to give us a clarity of understanding. Lord, what is it going to take for me to submit myself so completely to you that I'm not worried about looking at me, I'm worried about whether or not I see your reflection when I look in the mirror. And the things that I'm doing, Lord, do I see you or do I see me? Is that a lot of Daryl that's mixed up in that? Or do I see that the Lord, I've emptied it all out and I've allowed the Lord to do what He needs to do? Lord, help us. Read, please. Doesn't the potter have power over the clay?
Of the same lump?
Of the same lump? To make a vessel?
Unto honor,
another unto dishonor.
What if God,
willing to show His wrath, to make His power known,
endured with
much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction,
that
He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He has afore prepared unto His glory. Now, what I want to say in this is, the Lord has every right to make of us what He wants us to be.
Yeah.
And He has every right to use us as a vessel of honor. Now, most of us wouldn't mind, Lord, help me to be used as a vessel of honor. But you know that there are other vessels, and we talked a little bit about it last night, that there are other things that the Lord wants to make. There are some that the Lord wants to use in various ways.
Yeah.
He wants to show folks what somebody looks like, That things go completely in opposition of the way that they want to, and they still have a sweet spirit. It's still a sweet spirit because they are the vessel of the Lord.
Yeah.
What is being carried in there, literally in this body, what is literally being carried in this body is the Spirit of God, the most powerful thing in the world.
Yeah.
What is literally being carried in this body, this little body that is different from every other body that's in here, what is being carried in it is God Himself.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God.
Yeah.
That same Spirit that moved upon the face of the waters that helped in the creation. That when He said, let us make man in our image, He was one of the Godhead.
Yeah.
That's what's living and reigning in us. And let me tell you, what we have a right to do, what He has a right to do, is make of us what He wants us to be. It is God that made us. and not we ourselves.
Amen.
But sometimes we forget that, don't we? Sometimes we feel like we have a right to tell God what we should be. But it is God that made us, and not we ourselves. All right? A vessel is a receptacle, a hollow receptacle, especially one that is used as a container for liquids. But our bodies is a container for the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
All right? 1 Thessalonians 4 and 4. 1 Peter 3 and 7. We have 1 Thessalonians 4 and 4. That every one of you should know how to possess this vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. So what he says here, that every one of us should know how to possess his vessel.
Yeah.
Now when we say that we're a vessel of the Lord, that's really what we are. The Lord has the right to possess us.
Yeah.
All right, 1 Peter 3 and 7.
Likewise, ye husbands,
dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife,
as unto the weaker vessel,
heirs together
of the grace of life,
that your prayers be not hindered. You know what, men, speak to you for a minute. The wife is a weaker vessel, a vessel of the Lord, and we are to dwell with them according to knowledge. There are some things that we should know about our wives. And I say to men all the time, I say, you need to know her.
Amen.
And you need to know that she can't handle all the stuff that you can handle. And you need to protect her. And you need to love her. You need to show her. You need to understand that she's the weaker one. But you know what? We live in a generation that has... I'm not completely blaming men. Because women have wanted to rise to be equals to men.
Yes.
But I'm sorry, a woman is not equal to a man. Not in physical attributes. And emotional attributes. And there are other things that she, as far as I'm concerned, the brother was saying that he doesn't have anything against women, but he don't feel like they need to be in the cockpit. Well, I'm not going to disagree with him. I don't believe they need to be out carrying a gun and fighting in a war either. Y'all can call me what you want to when I finish. I don't believe they need to be in brogan boots on a construction site.
Amen.
Picking up 80-pound sacks of concrete. Well, I can do this. No, you can't. You can take a 125-pound woman and a 125-pound man, and they have completely different... One is just completely stronger than the other one, generally speaking. It's different. The wife is the woman, and not just speaking the wife here, but the woman is the weaker vessel.
Yeah.
And women, don't enjoy that.
Yep.
Let him do some things. Let him carry the groceries in. Let him do some things, and don't, oh, I got this, I got this. No, let him do it.
Amen.
And you be willing to do it as the weaker vessel, that your prayers be not hindered. That's what the scripture says. And there are some things that she cannot bear that you can. Some things that we don't find is that big of a deal, she finds is a huge deal.
Yeah.
And we need to know that. Dwell with them according to knowledge. All right? All right. Isaiah. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2 and 20. And then Isaiah 64 will be done. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold, silver, also of wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared. Now you notice how it says prepared? At the beginning of this discourse, we were talking about how the Lord qualifies us. The Lord is not going to use somebody just because they think he should. Just because you, well, I'm here, why are they looking over me? Have you allowed the Lord to prepare you for the thing that you want? Sometimes we want things that we're not prepared for. And the Lord is not going to jeopardize his work just to make you, just to keep from offending you. I never found anywhere in the scripture where the Lord was afraid of saying something because he was offending. He talked about folks all the time. He let them know just where they were.
Yeah.
And in the same way, the Lord will let you and I know exactly where we are. If we're not prepared to be the vessel that we're desiring to be. And let me say, the scripture says in many places that if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. It's nothing wrong with me wanting to have a particular gift or a particular thing that we want the Lord to use and utilize us in that capacity. There's nothing wrong with me desiring that way and praying and preparing myself. Lord, if this is what you want me to do, ultimately I'm willing to do it.
Yeah.
But if it's not what you want me to do, make of me what you want me to be.
Yeah.
As clay is, so I am to thee. Lord, help us to have that willingness and that level of sacrifice and that level of consecration. We need a greater level of consecration. I believe the Lord wants to give us a greater level of consecration. All right, let's go to Isaiah 64, verse 8.
Now, O Lord,
thou art our Father. We all are the work of your hands. We're the work of your hands. You know what? Let the Lord use you. Let the Lord work with you. Let the Lord mold you so that you can be exactly what He wants you to be. May the Lord help every one of us. Pray for me. That's my desire.